League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Are we running a competition or something?
We are running a competition. A little competition? Yeah. So before we get properly into the show, we should probably mention a competition. It's a competition for some lovely things, which you can see on the screen right now, perhaps. Maybe all of these things. We've created a lovely little visual asset for you to look at while we talk about it.
What's this way?
I'm gonna do it. Now look, we've got lots of things for you to win. We've got things like calendars that are signed by us. We've got a lovely card written by us. We've got Martian soil. We've got taste changing tablets. We've got a very exclusive Sci Guys top. You can win a whole bunch of stuff. If you want to know the full details of the competition, you can check out the link in the description. But all you need to know right now is to enter the competition. All you need to do is subscribe to us. You need to like this episode, and you need to leave a comment, and the comment needs to be an answer to this question. The question is, since we're talking about today climaxes, I thought about IMAXes, and what is the first film that you ever saw? What do you think the first film you ever saw is? Let us know in the comments below, and you can enter to win the competition. There you go. Climax, IMAX, no?
There's a tenuous link.
That was so tenuous.
Think of something better. Think of something better.
I cannot. There is no question greater than this question, sorry. I also, when you said an exclusive Sci Guys top, I was like, but Corey, you're the exclusive Sci Guys top.
Yeah.
Not you, Jeff.
I'm an exclusive top.
Definitely not you, Jeff.
What are we starting with this week?
Are we review
Spotify followers? Spotify?
You're both wrong. We're both wrong.
YouTube this, comment
no,
of the month.
The other one.
Apple Podcasts of the month.
Okay, no, the other one.
That's what we reviewed. I already said that.
Well done, Luke. Finally.
Yeah! We got that. First time.
We just want to thank our patrons who voted for the topic of this episode. You can become a patron over at patreon.com/SciGuys.
We have a patron?
Do.
Damn, that's cool.
Patreon.com/SciGuys.
Patreon.com/SciGuys.
That's right. Patreon.com/SciGuys. Let's start the show.
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to the SciGuys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jamp, and Luke Cutforth, and this week's special guest, Noah Fince.
Yay!
Hello there.
This week, we finally come to the topic of coming.
What?
I beg your pardon.
Dirty patrons.
Dirty patrons.
This is what they voted for.
They voted for. So it was a tie. It was the science of orgasms or the science of PTSD. And I thought one of them seemed a little bit dark, so I went with orgasms instead.
Did someone just submit, like, come, please? please just come.
Signs of come.
Signs of come. Maybe for this month's bonus episode, which you can get on patreon.com/SciGuys, a bonus episode about cum.
It'll just be called cum.
The science of cum.
cum/SciGuys.
No, but I thought that we could bang this one out pretty quickly. So I thought we'd... I thought we'd do the science of orgasms. So why don't we dive right in, shall we?
No.
Just dive straight into the cum.
That's very deep, yeah.
Right, this is the thing. To anyone who's a new listener, we do often talk about science topics, and we're not usually this childish.
Last week
you're
we talked
say,
about
right off we the do bat. Talk about cum.
Last week we talked about going to Mars. Now we're talking about cum.
I mean, our 100th episode was just last week. It's 101. You know, we reached the climax, and now we're finally coming.
I don't like puns. I don't like when
How
you
many
make
of these
puns.
Have you got, Curry?
honestly, Luke, I've got a few, but it takes me a little bit between each one to get back to. Anyway.
wish you invited me on to a different episode.
Why couldn't I be here for Mars?
I gave you the option to not join. I told you what this would be. And you still came anyway.
He messaged me this morning. He was like, are you sure? I was like, yeah, how bad could it be?
Okay, no, let's go straight ahead. Let's dive right into it. Take the bull by the horns. What are orgasms? Now, Jamp, I know you've never had one, but just imagine. What do you guys think they
are? Well, I've read some theory. apparently, towards the end of coitus, you have some spasms and...
spasms?
Baby making time. Yeah, or spasms, right?
Or spasms.
What? I don't know. or spasms?
Or spasm. Yeah, it's kind of like a spasm.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But from within.
Luke, do you have any idea? Do you want to add to Jamp's wonderful explanation?
There's literally nothing to add there, I think. We can wrap the show up, I think. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Trust Luke to finish early. Anyway. Oh, I'm full of them. I'm full of them. No. So the definition of orgasm I've taken from Britannica. Also, by the way, before anyone gets too mad, blame our patrons. This was not my choice. I didn't choose to do this topic. Our patrons did.
They suggested it and then voted on it.
Exactly. So if you think that this is childish, if you think that we shouldn't be doing this, blame the patrons. And if you want us to never do something like this again, go to patreon.com/sideguys.
Silly and you little can stop us.
Suggest something better.
So this is the definition from Britannica. So orgasm, also called climax, climactic physiological state of heightened sexual excitement and gratification that is followed by a relaxation of sexual tensions and the body's muscles. Essentially, it's that bit at the end of sex, not necessarily at the end of sex, but usually at the end of sex, where you feel all good and start relaxing.
It is like the big goal of sex, isn't it?
Well, you know what?
No. No. Baby is goal and make love secondary.
Well, you don't go for a baby every time.
Come is not important.
You don't go for a baby every time, do you? Usually you go for an orgasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has got really weird.
You probably want both, I guess, if you're looking for a baby. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. If.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I did like that Noah said within about 10 seconds of each other, baby is the goal, cum is not important.
Well, if baby is the goal...
I didn't think about that. Very good. Very receptive.
To anyone who doesn't understand, cum make baby. We did an episode on it.
But you don't actually have to sex. You don't have to orgasm to get someone pregnant.
You cut. Yeah, that's sometimes true. The pre-cum is enough.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes the pre-cum is enough. But also, you don't necessarily need to orgasm to ejaculate. Some people can ejaculate without orgasm.
What?
Some people can orgasm.
What?
Just like dribble out.
It's so like a gun shooting without you pulling the trigger.
Well, you could throw a bullet at someone real fast, can't you?
Wow. Yeah, surely you'd be like, whoa, what's going on?
You take out the bullet and you throw it. Like, boom!
Chucking bullets.
No, you're just holding the gun and the bullet falls out.
It's like... Oh, they dribble, you know, they pump by. There's one falls out and then another falls out. It's like a shotgun, you know? Yeah, so...
Oh, dear.
No,
Sorry, everyone.
No, but in all seriousness, orgasm doesn't need to be the goal of sex. And, you know, if go look at someone that does sex education, because that's not what I'm here for.
The goal of sex is just to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're looking for a baby, in which case, that's your goal.
That's not a good time.
That's a very bad time.
It's very stressful. We heard how much breastfeeding hurts? That would hurt.
Do you know how much breastfeeding hurts?
I said, have you heard?
Oh, have I heard?
I have never breastfed.
I'd assume not. Anyway, moving on. During orgasm, do you know what happens? Well, come on, guys, let's be adults.
Okay, so some muscles go like, they kind of wobble and spasm, like Jem said.
Wobble.
There's a release of hormones in the brain. I don't know which ones, maybe norepinephrine. And that's the cuddly one, isn't it? And you feel all nice. You feel like that was worth it. That was a good time. I'm gonna do that again one day.
What if you feel not so nice?
Well, that's then
that's
normal.
The science behind the ick that you get.
Oh yeah, I saw a TikTok about this recently about like what's it called? It's called like I think the term that people use online is like post nut clarity.
Yes,
which is like this idea that well, the idea goes that typically men will find their partner less attractive post orgasm, And I've read about there's like a something to do with like a kind of repulsion, like an instinct towards repulsion, unless there's some kind of like you know, bond, like you care about the person. But I don't know. I mean, I don't get that. I just want to cuddle.
When I said ick, I meant like, oh, why did I do that? Not, oh my God, you're so much uglier than you were 10 seconds ago.
You guys are kind of talking about two different, but, yeah.
Semi-related
but potentially
things.
Related things.
Yeah.
Right, Luke, you seem to be talking about sex with another person. Right. Noah, I assume you're talking about masturbating to porn.
No. What? No. I'm just saying in general.
Right. Okay.
Afterwards, you're a bit like, oh, that was a bit much.
Right. Oh, right. Like, yeah. Oh, right. So discussed with like sex, right, and not the sexual partner.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, you guys are talking about similar but different things. I think what this might come down to, one potential reason for that is that everyone is ugly as hell. No. The actual reason for it could be during orgasm, your inhibitions are a little bit lowered. You know, the part of your brain. So the part of your brain that kind of handles. I guess what is the word?
Sexy thoughts.
Yeah, the part of your brain. No.
I wish you didn't whisper that.
So a part of your brain called the lateral orbitofrontal cortex, like, is less active, when you're having sex, and then during, and that's the part of your brain that you use for sort of decision making and reasoning. That's where all that comes from.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Oh dear. Yeah. So you that kind of that because that part of your brain is kind of like not switched off, but definitely like working less hard during sex and when you finally orgasm.
It's very few decisions
just afterwards when it switches back on and it, like, you know, you're able to make good judgments again. It's like, whoa, bro, I went out for 5 minutes and you did this.
Took my break.
Yeah, but also there's. Oh, quick! The lateral orbitofrontal cortex is out on its break. We've only got 5 minutes to do this. Let's go!
This is such a nerdy conversation. If I ever overheard this, I'd be like, oh my God.
See, I think the issue with this podcast is that it's too nerdy for normies, but it's too silly for nerds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, that's our tagline. I'm gonna change our Twitter bio to that.
Like, we've hit this perfect middle ground where people are like, this isn't scientific enough. You're making silly jokes about willies and sex.
Oh, I do wish they'd stop making jokes and get back to the serious stuff.
Like some people are like, oh, you make too many jokes, and other people are like, you don't make enough jokes. Come on, guys. That wasn't an order, by the way. Come on, whoever you want. No, back to this. Honestly, back to this. Yeah, so one of the reasons that you could feel a little more discerning post-orgasm is that during sex, that specific part of your brain that handles reasoning is less active. So there also could be a factor of shame along with it, because, you know, in society, sex is bad unless you're married, and masturbation will make your hand grow hair and you go blind. But
what?
No, look, that's not
truth.
That's not a fact. I'm just that's
no,
what
no.
People
I
say.
Mean, is that what people say?
Oh yeah, that's what people say. Yeah,
your hand grow hair and your what?
You go blind? Yeah, it's probably a more American thing, I assume. But it's definitely something that people say.
They're always coming up with something.
Yeah, you know, like.
This is why science is important, because you can literally just test that and then be like, okay, that doesn't happen.
I mean,
cool.
I don't think you need to test. I don't even think you need science to test whether, you know, jacket is going to make your hand grow hairy.
Theoretically, if loads of people believed that and you needed to check, you could just test it and then you would know.
No, true. Yeah, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Although you would expect to see that there are probably more people with hair on their hands, you know?
I was just thinking, if you wanted like a fuller beard or something, just put the cum on your face.
No, it's not the semen. It's the act.
Oh, it's the act itself.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes you hairy.
You need minoxidil.
Well,
Satan visits you in the night and makes you grow hair on your hands.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of horrible things in my head.
Stop that, then. No, so...
Wow, Curry, you'd be a great therapist.
Oh, you feel inside? You feel...
Stop it, mate.
Have you
drop
tried
your
it?
Brain?
Tried not.
Just drop it, bro.
That'll be £300.
Drink some water.
And that's what therapy is. No, so, yeah, again, the sort of culture of shame around sex and whatnot, that could also lead to you feeling bad after, you know, coming.
Doing it.
Yeah, after doing the deed. So during orgasm, your heart rate, blood pressure, and breathing all suddenly shoot up. Your pelvic muscles spasms. That causes the urethra in males to contract and the vagina to also contract. And that's how males ejaculate, because the urethra is like being squoze.
Oh, it's your pee hole. The pee hole.
The urethra goes isn't just the pee hole, it's the tube.
No, I know, but the pee hole spasms. I thought it was like the muscles around that.
No, it's the... So,
your pee hole spasms?
No, to be fair, yeah. I would have thought it was like further down.
No, it is further down. The urethra is the tube, not the pee hole.
It's not the entire urethra.
What's the scientific word for pee hole?
I don't know the scientific word.
The mouth of the urethra.
Urethra.
It's like a river.
Okay, right. Okay. Let's
put Eureka.
Right. Let's put it this way. If I was to say your throat spasms, you wouldn't say, my lips are spasming, you know? I'm talking about your
penis. So your penis lips don't spasm. Okay.
No, your penis lips.
You've got penis lips.
No!
Oh, no.
Every I want to see. I've seen a penis.
Okay, Jam.
Several.
Show him, please.
Can I see your penis lips, please?
I got.
Please.
I got fella.
Oh my god, penis. I'm just imagining when you're going like, bah. Like, oh my god.
Right. When I say your urethra spasms, remember, your urethra doesn't spasm. So, Jesus, your pelvic muscle spasms, right? Do you know where your pelvis is?
The big bone, yeah.
Yeah, so down at the base, that spasms. The muscle down there spasms, which contracts the urethra. Bear in mind, the urethra is very long and goes down the entire length of the penis. It's not just the it's not just the exit
and
hole.
Further.
It's the entire and further, yeah. It's the entire So you say the nodding and smiling as though it was something very profound.
And further.
Yeah, so the urethra goes like right the way down and the pelvic muscle spasms, which squeezes it essentially, causes it to contract. And that means that all the seminal fluid, the semen that is sitting there at the sort of base is squoze out.
Does it all go? What? Or is there a bit left over?
I mean, I think there's supposed to be a bit left over, isn't there? Yeah. Let's just say there's a bit left over.
All right.
I can't imagine. Well, it's like getting ketchup out of a bottle, you know? You don't get all.
I've heard that's why, because quite often
it's just pour some water down and after like sex, shake it around and get the rest of it out.
I've heard that's why quite often after sex you need to pee to get those last little bits out.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very
that
good.
That sperm must be so disappointed.
I don't know if that's true. I should say, I don't know if that's true. That's what I've heard.
Well, you can't pee and ejaculate at the same time. I know that.
Yeah, isn't it because either the urethra or the tube that goes into the urethra that carries the semen is like wrapped around the other one?
I'm not sure if it's wrapped. I know that, but basically I know that they're both coming out the same hole. So it's set up so that you can only have one at the same time. Like you can't breathe and swallow at the same time.
I'll prove you wrong.
Right, okay, guys, come on. Come on, let's be good.
My cloaca.
So, the muscles, there's muscles in the vagina and penis that and the anus all contract about once per second, 5 to 8 times. And that'll be why, like, if you've ever seen semen come out of a penis, I don't like using those words. If you ever see a dick come, gosh, I can't
That's
use those words on
somehow.
YouTube. If you've ever seen a man's meat shaft expel
drool,
dribble,
yeah,
baby batter,
it comes out in
don't
pump.
Say baby batter.
Sorry, I was trying to think of something.
If you've ever seen a man's meat shaft expel baby batter, it comes out in pumps. There you go. That's that. So people, so I got a lot of this information, by the way, from Planned Parenthood, which is really great. You should go check out the Planned Parenthood website if you're looking for sex education, because you're not getting it here.
Shout out to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, shout out, bro.
They've been struggling. They need some support.
We got you.
I'm just saying, if you're ever confused about any of this stuff, Planned Parenthood has very good explanations
for you. Help fellow influencers.
So if you have a clitoris, you're usually like you usually orgasm through stimulation of that, or your vagina or anus. And if you have a penis, then usually you can orgasm through stimulation of. Yeah.
Through the anus.
Through the anus.
Wow. Wait, so you said every time someone comes, is their butt always...
Squeezy.
Squeeze.
Squeeze, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, sure. I mean, unless you're paralyzed in your butt,
I never thought about that. Wow. I am learning.
Mm. Well, next time we all come, let's just all think about our bums.
Because then I'll... No.
Pay attention.
No.
Everybody, redirect. Stop. Stop. Feel the squeeze. There you go. No, so dear gosh, I didn't think this would be so hard to get through, but here we are. Yeah. Barely through the first paragraph.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so you can basically achieve orgasm through stimulation of the clitoris, vagina, anus, penis, or testicles.
Some people can do it in their nipples.
Yeah. That's
Stop.
That's right.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
What?
Nipple. Some people can orgasm from nipple stimulation.
Yeah, some people can orgasm just from thinking sexy, thinking some, you know, about sex.
Can I ask a question about the anus? Sorry.
Go ahead.
You may ask a question about the anus. Yes, please.
So, I heard that female orgasm happening from the anus isn't happening from the anus. It's happening from the vagina through the wall.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So here's what I'm going to say is that is probably most likely the case. But people can achieve stimulation from like sort of different places. So for example, if someone has been paralyzed from say the neck down, their brain can remap so that they can achieve orgasm through other means.
Yes.
Or like let's say you're paralyzed from the waist down. Apparently your brain can sort of remap itself so that you could achieve orgasm through like someone stroking your arms in the right way.
I was watching a movie, not a porn movie, in French class with my French class when I was, I don't know why we were watching it. We were watching a French movie and there was a guy who was paralyzed from the neck down and he could orgasm through someone rubbing his ears.
Stop.
I don't know why we were watching amazing. That in French.
The Dumbo.
Was it Dumbo? Don't do that. No!
That felt dirty.
Audio listeners, Corey just fondled Jemp's earlobe.
I don't want them to know that. Oh, don't tell them.
Come all over the desk.
Oh, I'm
hate
sorry.
This.
I left that there from last time. Yeah, so Luke, to answer your question, I don't know. Both, maybe.
Okay.
No, like it could be both. It depends on the person. But yeah, I think probably most likely it'd be stimulated through the wall.
It's like when your next door neighbor's having a party.
I was going
to
say.
The music's so loud, you can just dance to it next door. And you're like, still as good. I can have a good time.
Yeah, so like I said before, that the part of your brain that handles like logical thinking and whatnot, that's mm-hmm. that basically goes on a little holiday while you're, you know, doing the deed. And then sort of there's lots of different parts of your brain that are involved in having an orgasm. Like we've the number of times that we have done brain scans on people that are orgasmic. There's many brain scans being done on it. The thing is, though, apparently that it's difficult to do it for most men or cis men because like orgasms are really short.
Yeah.
So like studying that, it's like we missed it.
Hold up.
So lots of orgasms. So lots of hormones are released during orgasm. Can you guys hazard a guess at maybe just one? Hazard a guess at just one that might be released.
Oxytocin.
Right. Very good. I keep on wanting to say
thief.
I keep on wanting to say Oxycontin, which is
a drug.
Huh. Yeah.
Not the same thing. No, oxytocin is released during orgasm. Do you know what else it might be released during?
Dopamine. Oh, wait, no. Through cuddling with your baby after it's born.
Yeah, so like during breastfeeding. Yeah, yeah. And so I guess also cuddling as well.
Having a good kiss gives you some oxytocin.
I forgot my question.
Having a good kiss?
Having a good kiss? A very Australian accent.
Having a good kiss, man.
No, so it's released during orgasming and breastfeeding. It's released, it's secreted by your pituitary gland and then released in the hypothalamus. Like Luke said, it's the sort of huggy hormone. It's what makes you feel close to people.
It's known as the cuddle hormone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what makes you feel like it makes you feel sort of like lovey-dovey with other people. Not like lovey, like, ooh, I want to get some of that. More lovey, like,
I want to cuddle.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because I was like, I don't like that that's the same hormone released while breastfeeding.
Imagine if you had an orgasm and then immediately after your brain released something that went, now we're going to have sex again immediately. That'd be exhausting. You'd just be in that forever. You'd just be in a constant loop forever until you died.
I mean, that is
please
beneficial,
stop releasing like this Oliver bloody Christmas hormone.
What's in more, please?
There is an animal that actually has sex until it dies. I think it's a shrew. Some what? Kind of shrew or...
Big up shrews.
shrews. Not an elephant shrew. It's some shout kind of shrew or like small like rodent-like animal that...
An elephant.
I was about to say no offense as well.
The males during their sort of sexual period, they reach sexual maturity and then they have sex for like 2 weeks until they literally die from exhaustion. I can't remember exactly.
I assume that's the males.
Yeah, no, the males do. Well, no, because if the females did it, they'd be like,
well, exactly, there would be no more shrews.
Yeah.
Unless shrews take like only a week to make, in which case you could pop a few out on your way to death.
But who's looking after the shrews, you know? The males have sex until they die, which is pretty cool. And in some insects, obviously, they have sex and then they
die.
I was
thinking like the male praying mantises usually die, but that's because the females rip their heads off or something.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit different.
Black widows do that as well. Lots of...
Yeah, they get eaten.
Some insects have got... I think slugs or snails. Snails, I think. I know too much about animal sex, and I really have no reason to know it.
I was watching some snails.
Do snails have sex with their sticky side?
I was thinking their antenna.
Do they
things.
Go like? And then
those are their eyes.
Shells
for one thing. Jam.
They could rub their eyes together.
That's not for sex. Oh. So the way that snails are really interesting because I think they're hermaphroditic, so they can be both male and female at the same time.
That's so cool.
But they've also got, I think, I'm pretty sure it's snails. They've got something called like a love dart or like the dart of love or whatever to increase chances of, impregnation sort of thing, or like increased chances of fertilization, rather. They shoot out this sort of dart, but it could also kill them.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I've seen this. I'm in a snail group on Facebook.
You're in a snail group.
Yeah.
In anticipation of this, Corey, I just Googled how do snails have sex, and Google has this description of how snails have sex, and then the end of the description is, that's assuming that the snail survives the little love stab. Which I think is the dart you're talking about.
Yeah.
But the little love stab.
Yeah, so what other hormone is released during sex? Don't answer that, I'll answer it for you. It's dopamine.
Dopamine.
That's the one.
I knew that.
Okay, good. I was
That's
trying
to convince
say
you
it.
To do it again, I assume.
No, so dopamine, do you guys know what dopamine is for, generally? What like, people think it's for?
Happiness.
It's the do that again drug, isn't it?
Well, it's a chemical that makes you feel good. It's like it's a good feeling chemical. Mm.
I thought it wasn't.
Well, it is
it's
and it
is. It's the one that that motivates you towards good feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's called like the pleasure chemical.
Yeah, yeah. I just mean that I think I might be incorrect about this, but I think that that's generally a misconception that dopamine is actually the pleasure. Dopamine is what motivates you towards pleasure, and then the actual pleasure hormone is a different hormone.
No, so Luke, you're right. So in popular culture, dopamine is kind of seen as the pleasure chemical, the happy, good-feeling chemical, which to an extent it is, in that it doesn't necessarily give you the good feeling, but it's the sort of motivation for the good feeling, if that makes sense. How you described it was pretty spot on.
Thank you.
So we know that oxytocin and dopamine, the oxytocin and dopamine are released during orgasm as well. Also, prolactin is released during orgasm, and that's what gives you that feeling of that good, like sort of like satisfaction. You know, it's like oh yeah, that's a very not doing Borat.
Very nice.
Borat's back though. Borat's back, so it's okay. So prolactin gives you that sort of good feeling, the satisfaction. I think it's also released during breastfeeding, prolactin as well.
I was gonna say the lact just makes me think of lactation as it. It must have something to do with breastfeeding.
It could do. Yeah, I mean, I don't know the actual etymology of the word prolactin, but prolactin meaning pro, like as in good or more lactin coming from lactate. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. It could mean that. Mm. But I haven't looked it up. So, you know, I don't know. but yeah, so there's lots of different hormones and sort of neurotransmitters released during orgasm. So during orgasm, lots of other things happen. Obviously, it's quite similar to taking drugs. But you can also feel less pain during Ooh. Orgasm. Yeah, so if you're feeling a bit ouchy, just beat one out.
Yeah, I used to have really bad period pain when I was younger, and I'd be like Googling, like, how do I make it stop? And a bunch of women were just like, just have a little wank. Like, that's literally on a list of, like, how to stop period pain.
So if you have, like, a headache or something, you just, like, say no to paracetamol.
Prescribe myself a wank.
Doctor, yeah, exactly. Write it down. You must nut at least 3 times a day.
Prescribe your 3 wank.
Take with food. And yeah, and after orgasm, you can feel kind of sleepy and you can feel happy. And so a lot of people use orgasms to sleep. Use orgasms to sleep. They'll knock one out to get themselves nice and good for sleeping. In fact, I had a friend in high school who, he doesn't listen to this, it's fine. He would do it twice a day, I think. He'd do it when he woke up to get him ready for the day. And then
to wake up and to go to sleep.
Yeah, and to go to sleep.
Weird.
He had a routine, man. Like, it was like that, like clockwork. But yeah, so if you wanted to contact him in the morning, you couldn't do it.
No.
Between the hours of, like, sort of, you know, and it's weird because his mum was in the house as well, but between, like, you know, from the minute that he woke up to when he got up to, you know, go for breakfast, couldn't contact him.
No.
Wasn't worth it.
Most people just have a morning coffee.
No.
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 Not this guy.
He has a morning jerk coffee.
No.
Don't laugh.
So, yeah, so basically, once you orgasm, it basically tells your body to start calming you down, which can get you ready to go to sleep or just feel, you know, all good and good and happy. But what are orgasms for?
Well,
to make you do it again, I assume.
I don't think orgasms are for anything. They're just there. They have to have a purpose.
Good part of the baby-making process.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Is that what the answer was?
Is that what they're for?
Having children.
I mean, what does it mean to be for something?
That's a bit controversial, that one as well, yeah. Isn't it?
Isn't it, yeah.
What are orgasms for?
I just wanted to let that come to its natural conclusion. yeah, so, okay, well, yeah, orgasms generally are thought, I mean, for males are pretty much essential. Like, they're for squeezing out all that baby juice, you know? Mm. And that's what they're for. But generally, like, yeah, if you make something feel good, animals want to do it. And we're animals, you know, we can't get out of that. We are animals. And most animals that have penetrative sex, it's good for it to feel good because it's an incentive. Basically, if you think about it, everything is incentivized pretty much that an animal needs to do, right? You know?
Yeah. If you think, well, so you know how, like, when dogs are in heat or when dogs are just, like, around and they meet other dogs and they just start having sex? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's motivated by, ooh, this is going to feel good, or like, ooh, I feel like I should do this because offspring?
Maybe both. I mean, maybe animal, this is the thing. I asked this on Twitter the other day, just completely out of the blue. Whether animals knew what sex does. Like, because, like, yeah. Do they know what's causing it? Do they know what's causing it?
But it's so weird because even, like, obviously in rat groups, but there's a bunch of posts about how, like, when the rat gets pregnant, like, she makes a nest. Like, she knows she's going to have kids. So, like, there must be some, like, feeling of, like, oh, I know the consequences of this. Like,
she just gets the
idea. You made something. Your choices. Yeah. You knew what was going to happen, little Miss Rat. You have to take care of the babies or eat them if they're too much.
Oh, dear. God.
I mean, does that not... I mean, I don't know the answer to this, but does that not assume that... So, like, when you're, might it be that the dog or the whatever you just said, or the owl or whatever the bird was?
Did I say owl? Said rat. I said rat.
Wait, did you say rat? Okay, sorry.
The owl.
I was thinking of owls, man. I don't know. Like, what I mean is that, like, we as humans make sort of decisions and we then think about our decisions and anticipate other decisions that we might make. Whereas animals might just might just do things and not ever actually make future decisions. The things just happen, and the decisions are a manifestation of the brain coming to those decisions based on whatever is running the animal, but they might not anticipate, oh, this is going to feel good. They just find themselves doing it, and they never realized. They're just constantly doing.
Would there be a way to know?
I don't know. I feel like animals do go for things that feel good, because obviously we've done a lot of studies on, I mean, rats, for example. And rats will go to do things that feel good.
Like, oh, they'll take drugs.
Oh, I know. I agree with you. I agree with you that the behavior is rats will go and do things that feel good, as in the organism rat will move towards things that make it feel good. But what I mean is that the way you were talking about it,
it's
sort of
a
self-referential consciousness. Yeah. Like that there's an individual self that is making the decision and anticipating a possible future. Whereas, I mean, I'm not saying that animals don't have that. We don't know. We can't ever know, because that's a subjective thing.
Yeah.
But they might just be constantly in what is happening right now. And the motivation towards good feelings happens subconsciously.
But then you wouldn't be able to train a dog, would you?
Why not? Because you're training the system that makes those decisions.
What I'm saying, when I say, do animals know what's causing it? Like, okay, if a dog barks and you hit the dog, sorry.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. Content. But if a dog barks and you hit the dog will at some point learn, oh, bark means hit. Don't want to bark, because then hit. It understands the cause and effect.
I don't necessarily agree. I think that if the dog barks and you hit it, it might just downregulate the behavior of barking, so that in every individual moment to moment, the possibility of barking happening is lower.
But then how can you bring that up to more complex training of animals when it's, you know what I mean? Like So you can train a dog to do like an incredibly sort of complex routine. You can train rats to do quite complex tasks.
You can also train a computer to do complex tasks. It doesn't mean it has subjective consciousness that anticipates things.
But to some extent, we know that animals can understand that something will happen. At least some animals can understand that something will happen if a certain action is taken, to an extent. Do you know what I mean? In that, like,
I agree that the brain can compute possible futures. I agree with you completely there.
So the only way to bring that to what I'm talking about is that instead of the action being barking and a slap, the action is sex and a baby. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is, at what point do things understand that if they have sex, like, then a baby is going to happen? You know?
I don't know.
Don't know. I'm not asking you.
I think we should test it. We should ask them.
But pretty much every mammal that we studied has sex, like, has had homosexual sex. So that does point to there being sex for pleasure in many animals.
And interesting.
Yeah. So it kind of leads you to the idea that orgasm or sex feeling good is sort of an incentive for animals to have sex, in the same way that, like, if you eat something that's high in sugar, you'll be like, oh, that feels good.
Yummy.
You know, if you have a piece of fruit, you'll be like, oh boy, feeling great. Have a nice cold glass of water, you're like, oh, I better keep on drinking this stuff. But if you burn your hand in a fire, you're like, no, no, no.
Not for me.
Not for me, thank you. No more of this. Stuff that feels good, you want to do again, and stuff that feels bad, you generally don't. And all female mammals have a clitoris, which it's the function of that organ is just to react to stimulation from sex. The thing is that orgasm and sexual pleasure aren't exactly the same thing. Orgasm is that sort of peak of, like, boom, you hit it. It could be a subjective thing as well. It's hard to understand whether animals are having it. But, like, I think most monkeys, we think that a lot of monkeys and chimps and whatnot have orgasms. And the thing is that, again, you need to remember that just because orgasms are kind of there for, well, one, for ejaculation in males, and two, for, like, sex feeling good as an incentive, that's not the only reason that animals have sex. You've got like I said, homosexual sex existing in lots of different animals, mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone that we've looked into it. So sex for pleasure is a thing. So like there's bonobos, which are like some of our, I think, most closely related sort of cousins, I guess. They have lots of sex for pleasure.
You meant the bonobos having sex with cousins for some reason.
They probably are. I mean, that's...
Yeah. You know what? It's likely.
I mean, it is both. Incredibly likely. I don't know much about bonobo family structure, but I don't think they're, you know, too harsh on incest.
I don't think they have many concepts of cousins. No.
But yeah, no, the way that, the way that bonobo, like, they do it for sort of social bonding as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's surely not just pleasure. Like, some of them do it to get closer.
So yeah, I mean, but then pleasure and social bonding, like, there's kind of an odd line there, isn't there? Because social bonding and pleasure are kind of like very closely related. Like, if something's for social bonding, it's experiencing the pleasure together, mm-hmm. or giving another pleasure or whatever. So that's that. Yeah, that's kind of what orgasms are for. Oh, and by the way, when we look for orgasms in other animals, we obviously look at heart rate and stuff, but also I think they've looked at the faces that they make. They've tried to like
stop it.
Yeah, really? I think they've done that, a little bit of that. But there's lots of other ways to do it, and we have tried lots of different ways, but it's very it's like obviously difficult to understand that sort of subjective experience.
Just a bunch of scientists going, that looks
so
like a
weird.
But yeah, no, I think we have this this is really funny to me, right? In that we have this view right now that sex is for reproduction, and a lot of people will say that it's unnatural to have sex for any other reason. So, like, for example, people that say no sex until marriage because sex is for reproduction, and you shouldn't have sex with someone that you don't want. That's not true. Sex being not for reproduction is incredibly natural. Look at literally any bloody mammal. Like,
who made that rule? The Bible? Is that just like a religion? That is just a religion thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that it's... Yeah, it's probably a religious thing.
I mean, I guess it makes sense in terms of like back in the olden days, if you didn't have, you know, when I'm not even going to start talking.
Well, no, I mean,
I had a thought, but I couldn't be asked.
Yeah, when you didn't have contraception.
No. I was thinking more like you'd need stability if you're thinking of having a kid, and if you thought like, oh, I get what you mean with that contraception. Yeah, you'd be having
so,
a kid.
So yeah, like one of the ways of thinking about these things is like all these old ideas around sex are actually just ways of trying to get people to have less sex because it's not good to have loads of kids that don't have stable families.
Yeah.
Well, that's,
and then we come into this world where we have contraception and it's like, okay, that all looks really bad now, but that was a different world when we didn't have contraception.
Yeah.
Well, you say that, but then there's also the sort of like, you can get it from anal or oral or anything that doesn't
but
involve...
They were prudes, Corey.
Exactly. Yeah. So that, I mean, that doesn't
put
really
a what
that.
In my mouth. What?
What if the bum is gay?
I know. I just mean that's an interpretation you could make.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't absolutely. Know if that's actually the case. I don't know.
That no, I mean, sense. I think that for some of those religious sort of ideals, there were in some cases there could have been valid reasons for them. For example, I think the sort of circumcision thing that made sense as a cleanliness thing
because they didn't have soap.
Really?
Yeah. Because they weren't washing themselves properly. Were okay. they?
And why did evolution not take care of that then?
Oh, because, I mean, because
it's
people
not
start
naturally,
living.
Actual
evolution
valid
takes a long
thing.
Time, doesn't it? And, like, you're slightly less likely to get infections and stuff, I think, if you.
Right.
Like, okay, so compare. If not washing properly, you're more likely to get infections if you're uncircumcised than if you're not. As in, it's easier to wash penis if it's circumcised. Right?
That's really interesting.
So if you're not washing it properly.
There was a natural justification.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well.
No.
It's
no,
only
no,
if
no, no,
you
no,
never
hold on.
Clean it.
No,
a lot of people fall back on the like, oh, if you have a foreskin, it's dirty. It's like, no, you're not going to.
Just
wash it away.
Not now. I mean, like, way back when. Yeah, just to be totally clear.
Things like that take a while to die. And there was a real like benefit to it. I didn't know that. That's all I mean. I didn't know there was any benefit other than
I think it was also
to
do
to
with
chop off the end of our knobs.
Pleasure being immoral and that being like the most sensitive part of the penis. There's probably a bunch of
it's
differences.
Yeah. There's bound to be plenty of reasons. I mean, one, there was a sort of cleanliness thing that it like if you were not washing yourself properly, it can decrease the chance of infections. Obviously, nowadays, have a bloody shower, mate. Have a bloody shower.
Have a bloody shower, right?
That solves your problem. You don't need to go do no cutting. It's fine.
Even just a wet wipe.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it's so easy.
The power of a wet wipe, my friend. Unscented. you know, you don't want to get anything too irritating up in there.
I don't want any flowery stuff in my penis.
And then
put
also
the down, the
on top of that,
put the scissors down.
It does decrease it can decrease pleasure a lot,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So there can be many reasons.
It's not can.
Yeah, it's okay.
You chop off the most sensitive part.
Right, okay. So
if you're lucky, they leave the tendons.
What I'm saying is that there probably were reasons for like there were sort of some potential justifications for things, religious things. Yeah. Although the human social structure is changed a lot. There have been many different ones, and so my point here is that you need to remember that just because what you're told is happening now is like the default, mm-hmm. or the most correct, that's not true. And like even stuff like capitalism is very young, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very young. But right now we're in a position where we think that it's kind of been around forever and it's the only logical thing.
It's been around since we were born.
Yeah, because it's been around since we were born.
That's what it feels like.
My point is that, like, to bring it back, is that the idea that sex is only for reproduction is not a terribly, like, ancient one. Mm-hmm. Like, people were having sex. Like, people had sex for different reasons, like, you know, throughout human history. And just a church coming in and saying, no sex because God's sad. Doesn't mean that
the man in the sky cries
every single time you wank little baby Jesus, he cries little tears.
Oh dear.
Yeah, so sex isn't just for reproduction. You could also do it just for fun.
It's also for pissing off God.
Cool, especially if it's gay sex. That really winds about
double points.
Yeah, I mean, his fault, man. Shouldn't have built them like that if you didn't want them to do it.
Don't put a G-spot up the ass.
Yeah. How do Christians explain that? Like, super homophobic.
Just the work of Satan.
Temptation.
The apple. The apple of my ass.
Not only did a bit of apple get lodged in Adam's throat, it also, as it was passing out, got lodged in his anus, creating the G-spot.
Oh, dear. Well, this is,
I know it's not his anus. It's probably more rectum than anus, whatever. So why don't we talk about some weird and fun orgasm facts?
How many orgasms are had per year?
I mean, in this household, probably not that many. Mm. But across the world, at least 1 million. At least.
A lot more than 1 million. Say
that, yeah, like, that's why I said at least 1 million.
That's definitely like a day.
You could go a lot higher than that.
Yeah.
No, we could sit and work out how many orgasms are had per year, or we can move on to my first fact, which is from the Guinness Book of World Records. This was recorded apparently in 1500. The longest orgasm in mammals is that of the domestic pig, Sus Scrofa domesticus. On average, its orgasm lasts 30 minutes, but it can last for as long as 90 minutes.
I knew this. I heard about this.
Yeah. Oh, to be a pig. Although I have read things, and this is like not fully substantiated. I have heard things about, I think, cis women potentially being able to make their orgasms last like over an hour.
What the fuck?
I was reading up about orgasms, and the thing is, when you start to read about orgasms, it's very difficult to find things that aren't from like Cosmopolitan. Oh, look at how you can have ladies. Here's how to make orgasm.
Oh,
it's really hard to find things that aren't like that. So I was reading through some of those, and apparently you can orgasm for up to an hour or more.
You wouldn't really want to, though, would you? It'd start hurting.
Yeah,
it takes up a lot of time. You need a good nap.
No. As in, like, you feel the feeling for an hour.
As in, like, the feeling. You're not just like
spasming your bum 1 time a second for an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like
that would be awful.
Yes, I watched the woman who was orgasming like for 20 days straight or something. She went on some news program and she was like, it sounds really nice, but I really hate it.
Oh, so that's, I can't remember the name of the condition, but there is a condition wherein you orgasm, you can orgasm up to like 200 times a day.
Jesus Christ.
And it can be embarrassing. It can be uncomfortable. And obviously it can happen at inopportune times. So while it feels good, obviously it doesn't necessarily.
200 times a day, that's all the time.
Well, it doesn't matter. It depends how long they are, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you. I can get 200. No.
Yeah, Champ, you blink more than 200 times a day. It doesn't mean you spend the entire day with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, apparently humans can experience orgasms like for basically their entire lives, which is really weird. You know,
As in, when they get old, they can still orgasm.
Well, yeah, but also when, like, not from infancy to old age. It's weird,
no,
right?
I didn't want to know that.
Yeah, that's, this is something. No. This is literally one of the first things that it says when on Britannica. So usually, you release around 1 to 2 tablespoons of semen when you orgasm. Not everyone, mind. Just if that's your, you know, persuasion.
Noah's measuring it, right?
1 to 2 tablespoons. Look, here's the thing. Next time you're doing it. Pop a little something out.
Grab a tablespoon.
grab a tablespoon or two, and just see.
Oh, tablespoon. I thought you said teaspoon.
No,
tablespoon. No.
No, teaspoon. Bah, no, tablespoon.
Go to the doctor.
Although tablespoon, that's even 2 tablespoons doesn't seem like very much, you know?
I'm Corey. I come lots.
I've so much inside of me. No, I just mean it feels like...
I need
like
a cup.
A beaker.
You'd be so dehydrated. Like, so.
Yeah.
If it was a cup of semen every single time.
How much water's in semen?
It's a quarter of a liter.
A quarter of a liter of cum.
That's a lot. That's a lot of water to, like, be going, you know?
Imagine your friend who did it twice a day.
Oh, man, he'd be like...
He did it before he went to bed, and after he woke up, he would have to, like, get up in the night to drink.
He'd be on a drip.
Just take a big swig before, you know?
Take a big swig before, Corey says, right before taking a big swig. Enough to
replenish
all of your cum.
For today's episode, to make it interactive, I did bring a lot of cum. And yes, it took a lot out of me. Right. And so I need to replenish my fluids.
Let's all take a sip.
How many cups?
Luke, you don't need to know how many cups, but check your front door right now.
Oh, no. Look under your seat.
There'll be a lorry pulling cups.
You all do the homework.
So
be a lorry outside.
It's also possible for there's something called like a female ejaculate, which is like there's kind of 2 different fluids. One of them is more uriny, and the other one has got something
squirt.
Turn off.
Wait.
No. What do you mean?
It's squirting the uriny one.
No, it's squirting is both.
It's got urine in it.
So it comes from the urethra. One of them is chemically quite similar to, is chemically pretty much the same as urine. Another one has got like
yuck, actually.
Describing something as urine is not sexy.
urine isn't bad, it's just water and urea.
Yeah, but it's just the fact that people are like, oh yeah, I made a squirt, and I'm like, you made a pee on you.
No, because there's also something else in there as well, which is
so pee and something else.
Urine's an ugly word.
PSA, it's like a
PSA.
It's like a prostate, like it's like a
the town crier is here. Hear ye. It's not just urine.
Hear pee. No,
I don't think you understand that it doesn't matter what you put on top of urine, there's still urine in it.
Okay, but what if you were to take out all the urea, then it's just water, right?
Yeah, well, that's not what you're saying.
So but what's the big deal, man? It's just pee. Some pee.
The big deal is it's pee.
Have you seen that? There's a South Park episode you and I need to watch about pee, and it will really change your mind.
I've seen it. The one where they get like, there's like a flood of pee.
Dying. Yeah, yeah. The one where there's like a flood of pee.
Why would that change my mind?
Because it's
that,
just...
that would make me more stubborn.
Okay, right. Moving on from the pee. So yeah, squirting. There's a true female ejaculate, and then the other one that is more or less is more pee like. And
can I ask a question about this?
Yeah,
because I am genuinely interested. Mm-hmm. Is there any benefit to this? Is there a theory as to why it happens? What's going on there?
So this is a quote from this is a quote from a scientist, Barry Komisaruk, who said, whether either of these fluids plays a physiological role, that is, whether they serve any adaptive function, is not known. Nah, no idea, mate. Yeah, ejaculation from a vulva is less common than ejaculation from a penis. And some people do it and some people don't.
From the vulva?
Yeah.
All right.
Hang on.
Yeah.
From the vulva?
From the vulva.
But the vulva's like the doors,
isn't
it?
Like...
That's the labia. The vulva is the vulva just like the general area? Is that or is that a specific?
Oh no.
I don't want to.
We're really bad.
I don't want to go into the.
Okay, just cut. Snip.
No,
doesn't matter.
The jaws.
Let me in, please.
The entrance hall.
I've already mentioned this, but again, I just want to point out that usually we think that orgasm is like sort of dependent on like you know sex, but people can orgasm without sex. Usually, it's
masturbation.
Yeah. What? No. Without,
like, you heard it here. Yeah.
So we've spoken a little bit about, the male and female orgasm is they're kind of referred to in literature. And this is the thing. When you look for orgasm, when you search orgasm, there are so many results that say, why do ladies have orgasms? They don't need, the females don't need orgasms. Why are they doing that?
They don't have to deposit anything.
No, they don't. Except for in a bank. And a baby.
Does it actually, well, in terms of when you're having sex and trying for a baby, does a female orgasm help aid the sperm? Does it kind of like the spasm like suck it up a bit?
I love this.
Well, it must.
So there have been some studies. It's kind of inconclusive. We don't really think that we don't have like solid evidence to say that the female orgasm increases fecundity or increases your chances to conceive.
Yeah.
Don't laugh at me for using a word.
Fecundity.
It's with an F. So there's lots of questions about why cis women have orgasms. So let's talk about that. So only 8% of women apparently have orgasms through penis and vagina sex.
Penetration.
Because penetration could be anal.
Oh, yeah.
True. Or dildos.
Yeah. Or oral. Any kind of... Look, we all know what penetration is.
Does penetration go a number of places?
Google it. Any hole is a goal, as they say.
Oh, dear. Have your ears.
That's why we're all wearing headphones. So Corey's on the loose.
You could not handle, okay? Right? Look at your door because it's there.
I'm about to beat your eardrum.
So only 8% of cis women, according to a survey, which you find below, reliably have orgasms from penis and vagina sex. That's unassisted. So that's without anything else. So just stick in the dick. Only 8% of cis women have reported being able to orgasm. And this is specifically cis women as well, because for trans people, the rates of orgasm tend to be lower. Presumably because...
Sad. Like a Donald Trump tweet. Sad.
Let's whip out the violin. That's definitely the worst thing that's happening to trans people.
It really is.
No, presumably because orgasms can be sort of
mentally
inhibited. Yeah, inhibited by many different things, including not feeling very good.
It's a bit hard to get off when you're like, oh, I got tits.
That's not what I was expecting unless you to
you're,
say.
Look, unless you're a straight guy and you're like, oh, I got tits.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Someone else's mind, not for anyone listening. So male and female orgasms can be different in different ways. You guys, I presume, already are somewhat aware of this, but the male orgasm, as I've said already, is shorter. It tends to be pretty quick, over and done with. The female orgasm is longer and can be more easily interrupted. Presumably, like, for one reason, because it is longer. Not like actually interrupted, as in, you know, you can stop it. It can be ruined. It can be spoiled. Yeah, whereas, like, you know, usually with a male, once it's going, oh boy, there's no stopping it. But yeah. And we've already gone over how they're quite similar. In fact, it's the same sort of muscles are contracting and whatnot. So they are, you know, fairly similar. But another difference is obviously that the female orgasm you can sort of have multiple orgasms, which is basically with successive sort of stimulation, you can then have more orgasms in the same period, whereas with males, it's like, you know, you got one and you got to wait a bit, usually.
Yeah.
You know, usually it could be differences.
You're done.
Yeah, you're one and done. And you wait for a little bit.
To recharge.
And you go again. Mm. Yeah. So, there is a, like I said, you know, when you search online, there are many questions of, quite literally, if you search orgasm right now in Google, the first things that will come up are headlines saying, why do women orgasm? Or why is there a female orgasm?
Really?
Yeah. No, like literally, try it right now.
Orgasm. Orgasm facts. Female orgasms, everything you need to know. What can cause orgasm problems in women? What is an orgasm? Orgasm dysfunction in women.
Women.
Yeah.
I can't see this specific thing. The orgasm gap. We need to readdress the balance. There is an orgasm gap.
Why do women get so much more orgasm?
Yeah, well, okay. And this is the thing.
There's a lot about female orgasms.
Yeah.
They're obsessed.
So, no, but here's the thing, right? And immediately you're like, oh, sexism. Which, okay, yeah, to a pretty great extent. Yeah. But also, Luke, why don't you try this for me? Google nipples. Just the word nipples.
Okay. Nipples. There we go. Why everyone wants a new set of breasts with enhanced nipples. Yes, really? From the Telegraph. Harry Styles has four nipples, and there's a scientific reason why. Hell yes. This is so exciting. So do you want me to, what do you want me to do? Google
see,
image?
I mean, you should be, no, I don't, why, I don't want you to look at nipples.
Why do men have nipples?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was gonna
25 things you need to know about nipples.
Okay, hold on, wait. So you should, look, you should be seeing things about male nipples, questions about why there are male nipples.
No, actually the first one is about mammary glands.
Really? And there's nothing there
it's
about
probably,
male nipples.
Is that not catered to your Google searches?
No, I'm actually not signed in, to be fair.
Oh,
is it more to do with like predictive?
So actually, it was catered to Corey's Google search when he was researching.
It's probably because
I've been Googling why do women have nipples.
I Googled male nipples first. Yeah.
Nipple discharge. There's a lot about nipple discharge.
So that makes sense.
In here.
Okay, so I was confused because I was like, okay, so when I did this, what happened was I had searched orgasm for, you know, and I was signed out actually, so I got a lot of female stuff. And then I searched, I was like, okay, let's try nipples. I searched male nipples first. And I was like, okay, let's just try nipples. Mm-hmm. And then I got a lot of stuff for male nipples. So presumably Google's just like, you clearly want to know about male nipples. But yeah, no. males have nipples when they're like not necessary for, you know, the function that nipples are kind of generally for. Mm. And that's quite similar to orgasms with females in that there's not a specific like straightforward function. And yet it seems that people talk more about the female orgasm than people talk about male nipples.
What was that?
I want to just clip out, get rid of the bit where he said where people talk about and then just have a clip of Corey going, nipples.
Let's leave that in. Where people, people seem to talk more about female orgasm than people talk about male nipples. But, yeah, it's really odd because when you look this up, it's basically people being like, but why? Why is it? Why is it? So I'll run you through some theories. So there's one, some people think that it can increase fertility. So some people think that it can increase fertility as in when you have or increased chances of conception. Rather.
Having nipples.
Like what you said,
no. Sorry, the female orgasm. We're off of nipples now.
Oh, I was really
nipples.
Confused.
Forget the nipples.
It's like, how does that work?
Just forget the nipples. All okay. Right.
Male nipples increase female fertility.
Yes.
Ooh. No, and science can't explain it.
Some people think that, similar to with nipples, we're back onto nipples again. Similar to nipples, because males and females have basically this, there's this sort of pre-male and female like form of the sort of fetus essentially, or you know, before you've differentiated into being male or female, there's this pre-stage, so we all come from the same sort of place essentially, right? Yeah. So there are a lot of structures that are present there. There's a lot of structures that are present in both sexes that are just kind of there because you've got the same roots essentially.
Mm-hmm. So when you're saying just clarify, when you're saying we don't know why necessarily reason why females would have an orgasm. When you're talking about the orgasm, you're meaning specific. Do you mean specifically the part where muscles sort of contract and spasm, not the evolutionary advantage to having a pleasurable response to having sex? Well,
both, kind of. But generally, it's more focused on specifically the orgasm with the contraction and the good feeling.
Yeah, because unless that helps fertility, that doesn't make sense why females would need to have that.
No, that's not. Well, you're thinking very close-minded there, Luke.
No. So no. I mean specifically the spasms of the muscles.
No, I know what you mean. Okay.
Like, or at least there isn't an obvious thing that I can think of right now why that would be beneficial for a female to have. But the pleasure side of it, of course, yes, absolutely, that makes sense.
Yeah, so there's the idea, there's the thought that sort of, because we've come from the same sort of root, that it's just like, oh yeah, they both come from the same place, and it's almost vestigial to an extent, a vestigial sort of like function, or a function that is like, it's not necessary, but it's just present because it's present in males. And that makes sense to some extent in that sort of, you've got all the pathways laid down, like, you know, you've got all the sort of nerves there. It makes sense that it would feel... that it'd feel good for both because it's kind of inbuilt already. But that doesn't really hold up because evolutionarily speaking, that would have, it costs a lot of energy to do that, you know? And that would have, if it had no purpose or benefit whatsoever, we'd expect to see that sort of downregulated to non-existence. And also the male and female orgasm, as we've already spoken about, are kind of different in their, the experience of them. So, There's also nothing in the sort of structure, the anatomy that is sort of diminished, and you'd expect to see that as well. So it's odd. We don't have any sort of specific idea. We wouldn't have any specific idea of like why there is a female orgasm. Although I feel like when we look for why, we're often very small minded about it. Do you know what I mean? We're always like, especially when it comes to like a female male thing, it's kind of like, oh yes, people, if you're male, you're probably a man, therefore of course you have everything because the world is made for you. And then there's always questioning about why like female specific things happen, you know?
Yeah.
Could it make sense that the necessity for a female orgasm, especially like this one big exciting moment, as opposed to just the act continuously feeling good, it's because it's quite important that you carry on until for like a good amount of time.
Yeah. Mm.
Because if it didn't just get better, if there wasn't some end goal, then the female might just get like, be like, well, I'm done now and you haven't come, so I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, well, this is the, like, there's plenty of reasons. So it's like, one thing is that like things like rabbits can only start ovulating when they have sex or when they reach sort of that point. And so the idea that it could be an evolutionary holdover from that, even though human ovulation isn't dependent on sex, it could be just a holdover from like things like where rabbits have come from. But that is not the only thing. There is the sort of thing that, oh yeah, it could be to like, you know, make sure that people go all the way. It could be so that females could be more discerning of their partners in terms of like, if you get me there, then there is
like lionesses.
Yeah.
Lionesses are so powerful. They're just like, nope, you're gonna have to wait.
Yeah.
You have to wait. No, you do some good things. Maybe one day, man. One day.
And then there is this other theory as well that it could just be for pleasure. It could be for a bonding thing. So apparently because of the way that human societies were set up like quite a while ago, there could have been a benefit of like the bonding aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So while it doesn't necessarily help for reproduction, it does help to bring basically mates closer together, which could help keep them sort of, you know, long-term partners. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, this is just something I briefly want to touch on. Apparently, according to a survey in 1999, 43% of women in the U.S., have some sort of problem with their sex lives. And that's from the Journal of American Medical Association. So yeah, a 1999 survey, 43% of women apparently have issues with orgasming. So, and actually, FSD, female sexual dysfunction, is very, very common, to the point where is it really dysfunction if it's
becoming like really common?
Yeah, if it's something that affects most people, if it's something that affects like, you know, let's say 40% of people, is it really dysfunction or is it just function? Is it just how things are?
A different function.
Yeah. So it's interesting because the view of female sexuality by society really, really colors how we study this. Mm. And I think it's just what is interesting to think that's one of the ways that sort of sexism affects science. Another thing is just the faking orgasm. So really briefly, apparently this is from another survey that this is taking directly their words. 67% of women have reported faking an orgasm, whereas 28% of men have.
67. I feel like that's a bit low, surely.
Right? It feels low.
Yeah, I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah. But 100%.
But that's not split down through sexuality. So it's presumably they're mostly heterosexual.
Ah.
But if we go here to, I found one that's specifically about the LGBTs, the LGBTs. Well, really, it's just the LGBTs. This study doesn't actually look at the T in LGBT, but it's yeah. So it looks at gay men, lesbians, bisexual people, and heterosexual men and women.
They have more orgasms, right?
Huh?
They have more orgasms, right? They're better at getting their partner to it.
Who do? Oh,
gays.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you were very you were not being specific there. I was confused. Yeah. So okay. So the sample size here is over 50,000 people. But 26,000 of them were straight men. 450 of them were gay men. 550 of them were bisexual men. 340 of them were lesbian women. And over 1,100 were bisexual women. And heterosexual women took up about 24,000. Of these people, just for the numbers there for you. And this was basically a study asking them, how often do you orgasm during sex, essentially, or when you're sort of being sexually intimate? So the highest, surprise, surprise, was heterosexual men at 95%, gay men at 89%, bisexual men at 88%, lesbian women at 86%, bisexual women at 66%, and then heterosexual women at 65%.
Oh,
which is like, oh, as soon as you start having sex with straight men, boom, it plummets. Right?
That would suck.
It sucks. But then heterosexual men are likely having sex with heterosexual women. In fact, because they're the greatest numbers of both of them, you'd expect that those are the people that they're mostly interacting with. And 95% of heterosexual men are getting their rocks off with only 65% of heterosexual women. That's just like, come on, lads, please.
Come on.
Try harder.
Finish the job.
But when you say that, is the problem, where is the, it, like you're saying, is there a issue where women are finding that particularly difficult?
Well,
like, is that a physiological thing? Is it a societal thing? Or is it probably both?
Well, I think potentially because it could be more easily interrupted in females, but also there is very much a thing in our society of sex just being sticking it in and getting it done with. And, you know, that's not necessarily the best way for both people to achieve orgasm.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think that could be
it seems very effective for the straight men.
19 out of 20.
So if you look at this, it says essentially they also asked, they asked more questions. So women were more likely to orgasm if their last sexual encounter included deep kissing, manual genital stimulation,
manual,
oral sex in addition to PIV.
You put some effort
Just penetrative sex. Much. Yeah. You know, do more than just stick it in, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that like only 8% of females can orgasm from just penetrative sex and like a bunch of like heterosexual guys are just like, oh, this must feel great for her, right? Like,
we're both feeling exactly how I am.
Yeah.
And then they're faking it as well. So it's like, oh, did you come?
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah,
it
was
I did.
So great. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. You did such a good job. Then they go away and they pull.
they talk to all their girlfriends. They're like, "Yeah, he sucked." So.
I'm just gonna go have a bath and listen to some very loud music. Yeah, and so there's also, there's lots of studies done on this, but I think a big part of it is just a societal thing of like. For a long time, we didn't really think of sex as being something that should be pleasurable for, like, you know, 50% of the people having it. And so now, when we're trying to, we're asking these questions, it's a lot of it seems to be, well, we're just not doing it right, you know? So there's that. But let's end with something maybe a little bit lighter. Why don't we talk about death by orgasm or orgasms for health?
Now I've heard about this.
Yeah, you've heard about this?
I've heard of one case of this.
It's probably the same case. Give us a go. What case have you heard of?
Oh, I can't remember specifics. It's just some guy maybe having a few too many self sessions.
No, this is a different thing. Okay,
I've heard of someone dying during orgasm because they got so excited they had a heart attack.
It's kind of
nice. Yeah.
So my title for this is Cop Dies from Threesome. So this cop was with his friend and he was cheating on his wife with this. So it was him, another guy, and a woman that wasn't his wife. They specified that in the article. He was 31 years old. He was a police officer in Atlanta. And the reason I know about this is because the wife sued a doctor and won $3 million in the case. Now, the reason for this was that the man had a heart issue that basically meant that strenuous exercise or strenuous activity could cause his heart to kind of give out.
Sexercise.
Yeah. No, actually. So the story is it's macabre, obviously. It's very dark. But like, just the concept of someone dying whilst cheating on someone with a threesome. But yeah, so essentially the doctor didn't treat him properly for his high blood pressure and didn't diagnose him properly in that he didn't tell him, hey, you know, strenuous activity, don't be doing that. And this is a quote from the lawyer. The type of sex that he was engaged in is the type that's totally unacceptable to our community. But the fact of the matter is this man could have died running on the treadmill, running after a criminal.
But he didn't, though.
Running out
he didn't,
criminal.
Though.
He didn't, though.
A criminal, like himself, the adulterer.
Yeah, I mean, that is not the point, though. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know what? And this is the thing. The jury found that... This is so funny to me. I can't believe I read this. The jury found that the doctor was 60% responsible and the man himself was 40% responsible.
How did they work out the percentages?
I don't know. Like... You are 40% responsible for your own death because you had a threesome without your wife.
So they wanted to mainly blame it on the doctor.
Yeah. So the wife, that meant that the wife, the widow rather.
Oh, poor girl.
Well, she got $3 million, but that $3 million had come down from $5 million.
Rich girl.
Because it was 40% her dead husband's fault.
Stop.
Yeah, so if they decided that it was 100% the doctor's fault, she would have got $5 million.
You'd be extra pissed off. Your husband cheated on you, died, and then lowered the amount of money that you could have received.
You're a millionaire, though.
In death, took $2 million away from you.
So yeah, the thing is that she became a millionaire from this. So her husband died, and she found it, her husband was cheating on her, and he immediately died, and she got $3 million. I don't know if someone was going to cheat on you. I feel like that's the best outcome, probably.
It was justice, isn't it? He served justice.
The outcome was that she got a lot of money.
So sex could be very dangerous. It could, orgasming could cause you to die, but orgasming can apparently also be good for your health. So I found this study from 1997, which was, I think, quite funny. They had about 1,000 men from the age of 45 to 59 and studied them for 10 years. And they essentially found that your risk of dying was 50% lower if you had a high frequency of orgasms in comparison to people having a low frequency of orgasms.
Oh my God, Grandpa, I've got this, like, please. Please, Grandpa, have wank.
Please, Granddad, please.
Need to make it till Christmas.
Just getting your Granddad porn just to keep him alive.
Oh my God.
Granddad, please take your medication.
I remember when I was like 12 or 13, the first time I ever heard about masturbation, I was on a sick day from school and I was watching TV and there was some show on the TV, probably Channel 4 or something, about this. And it was saying that masturbation can apparently, or maybe at least just having some kind of orgasm, can reduce the amount of colds that you get.
Ooh.
Is that correct? Like it boosts the immune system? I'm not sure how it would do it.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't believe it. I haven't seen anything saying that having an orgasm frequently will make your immune system better. But evidently, from this, not evidently, there was only about 1,000 people. But from this, apparently, they've concluded that having sex can have a protective effect on men's health. That was their conclusion.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, it was quite, it's quite, just quite a silly study that I wanted to end on. That apparently, The thing is that we study lots of things, and sometimes in science we just look at lots of men and see how much they jacket to see whether that's going to kill them or not.
Oh God.
Yeah, and that is the story for this week. Thank you to our patrons for suggesting orgasms. But it is time for my favorite part of the show. It's the quickfire quiz.
Dun, 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 dun.
So you all know the rules of the quickfire quiz. I will ask you one single question. I've got to finish asking the question before you can buzz in with your answer. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer wins. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
Are you all ready?
Yeah.
What are your buzzers? Jamp, what is your buzzer?
Squidge.
Disgusting. Luke, what is your buzzer?
Ah.
Great. Rebecca is sitting upstairs wondering what the hell is going on.
Yeah, she just heard me like shouting about cum and making sex noises.
Noah, what is your buzzer? Ah. Very good buzzer.
Bog standard.
Good buzzer, by the way. You want it to be quick and he...
Ah.
Ah.
Right, okay. Here is my question for you.
Owls go really well together.
On average, how long is a pig's orgasm?
Ah!
Ah!
I think that Jamp got it.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Well, it's at the top end, the maximum is like 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Like 60 to 90 minutes.
Ah!
Oh, that's no? Incorrect, I'm afraid, Jamp. Noah!
30 minutes.
Ding, 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 that is right! Well done.
Oh.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations,
could go
Noah.
For 60.
Yeah, but I said the average.
If it's between 30 and 90.
Yeah, but
the average is 30, but it can go to 90.
You can't argue with that.
I'm trying to get my way out.
Congratulations, Noah. You won this week's quickfire quiz. I think, is that your first?
No.
Okay.
I won the first one I ever did as well.
Oh, well, good for you. Little round of applause.
2 points.
That's it, over.
Catch up, please.
So what we do every month, every single time we do a patron vote episode, which is what this is, we like to thank all of our new patrons over at patreon.com/SciGuys. So shall we get to thanking?
We shall, once I remember to bring up the list.
Don't you worry. I'm letting you pick up the list and bring it up. Because first, we gotta thank Roriro.
Ooh, thank you, Roriro. Thank you to Alex Watson.
Thank you, Quinn Dixon.
Thank you, Susanna.
Thank you to Monica Elmgren. Oh, what a nice name.
Thanks, Punk Fish.
Thank you, Caitlin Kennedy Roxburgh.
Thank you to Not Maddie. Not Maddie 1, Not Maddie 2. You know what? Not Maddie 3, 4, 5, or 6. Thank you, Maddie 7.
Did you forget how many numbers were before 7?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby Stanner, who I hope is a massive Stanner of this show.
Thank you to Uneasiest Book.
Thank you to Hannah Ilkvist. I hope I said your name right.
Well, thank you very much to all of those patrons and to every single other patron we have. Just a reminder that if you comment and like and share and subscribe to this episode, you can be entered into winning some lovely things.
That competition thing we're doing.
The little competition thing, a lovely little competition. Yeah, so if you like this episode, you subscribe and also you make a comment answering the question that we had at the top of the episode, then you'll be entered into the contest. And you can do this on last week's episode, you can do it on next week's episodes, and a few more episodes. And we'll announce them in our 105th episode. So keep an eye out for that. But before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive... Oh, wait, hold on. I went to... How have you been, Noah? Do you enjoy doing another episode of SciGuys? Was it fun?
Yeah, it was so fun. I learned so much.
You got anything else you want to talk about?
I have a song coming out on the 17th of March, but by the time this episode is out, it will already have been there. So listen to my new song,
wow,
Stupid, on Spotify. It's
fun. We're listening to it already.
We can. Yeah. It goes, I'm stupid.
Very good.
Yeah.
You should also watch the video on YouTube, which was directed by someone very smart and very intelligent and very talented.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Luke.
Luke, it was you, Luke. You did that.
It was me. Yes, thank you.
All of that will be linked in the description below. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producer Ashley Muller. Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and SciGuys on TikTok too. You can find me at NotCory everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
I am Noah Fintz everywhere, apart from on Twitter, where I am Noah Fid Adams, and TikTok, where I am The Noah Fintz.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.